Welcome to the Focal Points Podcast. My name is Dori Howell, and I am so glad that you are with me here today. Today on the podcast, we are going to be speaking with JJ Royer. JJ Royer is a photographer who, out of her own need for to create a unique product and have something unique and different to offer her clients, created something that she calls Artography. And in this podcast, you're going to hear us describe something that you're not really going to be able to appreciate because, yes, you are listening and you can't see what we are discussing. So what I'm going to suggest you do is go to the show notes for this podcast, hit the links to her work, to her Instagram page, and you can see exactly what we are talking about. And once you do that, you're going to understand everything that we're talking about. But in the conversation, we talk about her photojournalism background, how she came to be a photographer in her current area in Florida, and then why she decided to create this unique piece of art that she offers individual clients and corporate clients as well. And I'm really excited for you to hear this conversation because I think it's so great for us to hear from people who are doing something truly unique in their community to serve their clients, something that is setting them apart and they're getting paid well to do it. Something that a lot of us don't do very, very well. And it's great to hear from people who are. So after a word from our sponsor Enphoto, let's dive into the Focal Points podcast. Are you tired of generic photo albums that don't do your beautiful images justice? Look no further than Enphoto's range of handcrafted albums made with the finest materials. These albums are a perfect way to showcase your beautiful photos that truly captures how gorgeous they actually are. And the best part is that as a listener of the Focal Points podcast, you can get a 75% discount off your sample album by signing up for an account using the link in our show notes. Visit Focal Points podcast today. Go to that link, sign up for an account, and start showing off your work in a beautiful, beautiful way. Well, welcome to the Focal Points podcast brought to you by Enphoto. I am your host, Dori Howell, and I am so glad to be joined today by artist JJ Royer. And I could tell you a lot of things about JJ that I have picked up about her from her website and her socials, but that would be boring. I want JJ to go ahead and have a chance to introduce herself. So JJ, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for being here today.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. So JJ caught my eye. I'm always putting out calls for guests to come on the podcast. And if you have a story to share, or if there's anything like that that you think would apply to the Focal Points podcast audience, go to the show notes page and you can scroll down and fill out a little form. And JJ did just that. So before this, we had never met before. We had never spoken before. We didn't even really know who each other I'm not sure exactly how you who each other was. That doesn't sound right, but I think that might be correct. Anyway, doesn't matter. And so she went ahead and she filled out this form and she sent me this inquiry, submitted a pitch for the podcast talking about how she has created a very unique piece of art that she offers her clients, which I think is great. But before we get into that, JJ, I would love for you to share with our audience a little bit about your history, why you got into photography, what you do. Just give us a quick lowdown of your business and how you do what you do.
I'm not sure that that's actually a quick story, but I'll try to shorten it as much as I can. I feel like I've always had a creative soul. When I was very little, my grandma would have me watch Bob Ross, Joy of Painting.
And I really have fluffy little clouds, right?
Exactly. And I still am a huge fan. In fact, my husband just came home last night and had brought me Bob Ross mints that he had found because he knew I would love them. And I do.
Those are like, so for our podcast listeners who aren't seeing this on video, she just held up a little, like looks like the shape of an Altoids tin, but it has Bob Ross and his signature fro and a painting of his on the cover. So that's so sweet of him that he brought you that.
It is. Well, people know how much I love Bob Ross. So I also get gifts often of Bob Ross, and it just makes me so happy because that was his whole mission in life. And so I really think that same spirit has been infused in everything I've done. When I do my photography, my whole point in doing photography is to create joy. Mm-hmm. And especially in the artography, which we'll talk about in a minute, what exactly artography is. But when I do that, my whole purpose in doing that is to create joy. I love people to be happy, and taking pictures makes me happy. Creating art makes me happy. And when people buy it, it makes them happy. Yeah. And I love that.
I love the fact that you just said when people buy it, it makes them happy, because I think a lot of photographers get caught up in the idea that it's a pain point for people to spend money with them. But to put it in a little bit more maybe relatable thing is that I find joy in going to Sephora and buying new lipstick and handing over my credit card and getting a new lipstick or a new eyeshadow or that type of thing. I find joy in getting a new pair of shoes. I find joy in finding, you know, something as small as maybe a tin of Altoids with Bob Ross's picture on it that I could give to a friend that would really appreciate that. It's never a pain point for me to hand over my credit card for those things. I find joy in that. And I think that that is just such a wonderful way of saying people enjoy spending money on the things that they know they're going to like. And
exactly. And it's funny you mention that because when I first started out in photography, I worked with a mentor and she said, how do you feel about one of the things we went over, of course, was price points. And she said, how do you feel about charging this? And I said, oh, I can't charge that.
Right.
And she said, would you spend that much on a purse or, and she went through a number of things until she found out. And I said, well, yeah, I'd spend that on a purse. And she said, that's because that's what's important to you. And she said, when somebody feels that these pictures are important to them, they will spend that and they don't have a problem spending that.
Right. Right. It shouldn't be a push and a pull. There shouldn't be a, when you find the right clients, there shouldn't be a hesitation on their end when it comes to them purchasing what they want.
Exactly.
So, okay. So we got to the point, you were young, you love Bob Ross. You want to bring people joy with your art because that brings you joy. So it's kind of a self-perpetuating circle, which I love so much because that's the way it should work. That's when it's working really well. And, how did you start in photography? Were you a portrait photographer, a landscape photographer? You do a lot of different things.
Well, when I started out, I actually always thought I was going to be a writer. I was in high school and I was applying to colleges, I applied to art schools and thought about going to art school. And then there was no opportunity to take writing classes at an art school. Yeah. And I am a very broad spectrum kind of person. And I said, well, I can't do that. I want to go to a college where I can take a science class and a writing class and do all of these things. And so I actually ended up not writing at first in a direct way. I was in sales and marketing.
Okay.
For a long time, which you do a lot of writing in that. And marketing is really just trying to create a communication that persuades people to be interested in the thing you're promoting.
Right.
So it was an interesting roundabout way. And then I did finally end up getting into journalism. And at some point, my husband and I were traveling a lot and I started writing articles for travel magazines.
Oh, okay.
And of course, with travel magazines, they want photos to go with it.
Right.
And up to that point, I had always been taking photos with a cell phone camera and having a really fun time doing so. But now it was time to put my big girl pants on and buy a real camera and had no idea how to work it.
Yeah.
Absolutely none. Luckily, I had a friend that was a professional photographer, and he spent a lot of time with me showing me how to do this. So my very first photography gig, if you will, was photojournalism, where I wrote for travel magazines. Mm-hmm. And from there, I actually took an interest in boudoir. I'm a very big feminist, girl power, you know, finding your inner strength. And I think boudoir is one of the most misunderstood forms of photography that there is because people think, oh, it's just about sexy pictures. And it's not. When you work with women, it's empowering. I've had women break down and cry when they saw their final pictures and say, I didn't know I could look like that. And it's just, it's a really magical thing. And especially one time I had a girl who saw her pictures and she said, wow, I didn't know that I could be that sexy. I didn't know I could be that pretty. And her husband turned to her and he says, now you see you the way I see you. Aww, and it was the most touching moment.
Yeah.
And so I started to get into boudoir photography. And that was when I worked with that mentor I had mentioned earlier. And every time I try out something new, I always will do a lot of research, a lot of education. And working with her was really great. And she taught me about how to set my price points, what I was looking for when I was doing boudoir photography. And so I created my boudoir business, and that was highly successful. Mm-hmm. And then when we moved down, that was when I lived in Pennsylvania. When we moved down to Florida, I decided not to pursue it because I can't do anything halfway.
Yeah.
I do everything with 110%.
Right. Okay.
So a boudoir session for me, and they were all done out of my home. My studio was my home, and my homes are always beautiful. And so it was preparing the home, having the gal show up, having a hair and makeup artist show up at the house, having a edibles fruit basket waiting for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was all out. So by the time they would show up, hair, makeup, snacks, shooting, get them done, leave, put the house back together, it was easily an 8 to 10 hour day.
It's a lot.
It was exhausting.
I have a home studio and I have a completely separate space for it. So I feel like I can shut the door and it's totally fine. But if you're working in a space that has to serve dual purpose for your life and for your business, it's a lot of work. And I respect so much the people who can make it work. I don't know if it's more work. It's just a different kind of work than having an outside studio. So you had your boudoir business. That was very successful. And then I'm assuming that somewhere in there, you got overwhelmed with having it in your home and so forth. And you wanted to do something a little bit different. And I want to move forward to your journey of when you decided that you wanted to create a custom, one-of-a-kind piece of art for your clients that could hang on their walls. And for those of you who... you'll have to go to JJ's website, and that will be linked on our show notes page. So you can go to focalpointspodcast.com, and then under this episode, you'll be able to link to it. She creates a really, really unique, custom, one of a kind art piece for her clients. And I want to just jump ahead to that and talk about, when did you decide that you, was it a point of wanting to set yourself apart, or was it your creative energy wanting to be funneled into something different that made you go on this journey of creating these full art pieces? And when I say full art pieces, it's not just the picture itself. It's the frame and everything that goes around it that's very unique and one of a kind. So when did you come to that realization that you really just wanted to completely shift? Was it oversaturation in the marketplace, your creative journey? What was that like?
Well, so when we moved to Florida and I decided I wasn't going to do boudoir anymore, I dabbled in, of course, family portraits because I still wanted to take pictures. But I have always been the kind of person that I love a sunrise. There's just something about it. Your whole day is brand new. Mm-hmm. I mean, how can you have a bad day when your day starts off with such beautiful colors? And
right. Well, especially when you're in Florida by the ocean.
Exactly.
Right. My sunrises in Virginia look a little bit different than your sunrises in Florida. I travel and pay lots of money to see sunrises that you get to enjoy every single day.
Right. And when we would be on vacation, like we were in Cabo on vacation, and I was up at the crack of dawn peeking out of the hotel room window because I wanted to see the sunrise, and everybody else is like, go back to bed.
Right.
But, you know, I love a sunrise. And so I kept taking photographs of sunrises and I was posting them on my Instagram, and I started having people message me and wanting to buy them.
Yeah.
I said, okay, sure. Yeah, of course. Sure. I'll sell you my print. And so I sent some pieces off to California and such. And now, mind you, these were just regular photographs at the time, just metal prints, paper prints, things like that. And so when people started wanting to buy them, I thought, well, maybe I should start doing some art shows. Mm-hmm. So, of course, being the person I am that does a lot of research and background, and I went to a couple art shows and found out that there were a million photographers there.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, so if I want to do this, I have to do something different. Mm-hmm. And I had come across a picture of somebody that had created kind of a frame out of pallet wood, and it was interesting, but I wanted it to be more. So I drew up some sketches and took them to my dad, who's a hobby woodworker, and I said, I have this idea for creating these frames. And I'm very creative. He's very numerical. And so he would be like, you know, well, how thick do you want your wood? And I'm like, I don't know.
That would be me. I'm like, just make it happen, Dad. Yeah. I mean, I don't know all these. Don't ask me all these questions. This is what I want it to look like, right?
Exactly. And so, you know, he's asking me these questions. He wants to know about numbers. And I'm like, and so he really dialed me in to what this would need to be as far as a actual piece of art and how it could technically be created. And then it was really fun when I said, okay, well, show me how to work a saw. So here I am at 40-something years old learning how to work a table saw.
Hey, good for you. Good for you.
Fun. It was a lot of fun. And I love being messy. So it gives me a chance to get messy. And so I started creating these frames. And, of course, everything evolves. My first one, oh, it's so bad.
Yeah.
And then my mother still has it hanging on her wall. And I think, take that down. And she's like, oh, but you made it. And I'm like, no.
I love it, honey. I love it.
And I'm like, no, this is my work. You can't bring people in and go, this is what my daughter does, because that's not what I do anymore. It's different. It's better. It's, you know.
Yeah, my mom would have been the same way. So that's what moms do, right?
It is. And then I love that. I love that kind of support. So my parents have been very instrumental in being supportive of this. And of course, my husband as well. My husband is the best person to bounce ideas off of. And I would run an idea by him when I was in this creation process of how to do this. And he would say, oh, I think that's a great idea. I don't think that's a great idea. And then in the art shows themselves, he is my number one fan. He tells everybody about it. He helps set up. He tears down. He spends all day in the hot sun. I've got a great support network behind me.
Good. So your dad helped you create these prototypes and really got you inspired and taught you like the how-to of creating these frames. And I'm assuming then you just started kind of doing it. And what was it like when you sold your first one?
Oh, I was ecstatic. And it was so underpriced.
Oh, I'm sure. Right? Right?
Because, you know, I just was so excited to have something that I made out there. And I sold it and thought it was just the best thing ever. And then, of course, as things evolved and I realized how much time and money I actually have into all of these pieces, I said, okay, I need to restructure my price and do this a little better. And so now obviously I've got them priced a little better, but to sell my first one was absolutely wonderful. I actually sold it to someone here in town who is also a huge supporter of me. She was the person I bought my house from.
Oh, okay. Your real estate agent.
Yeah. She's a realtor and it's kind of funny because of her and the realtors that I've worked with over the years, realtors are such a wonderful niche in our community because they are the people that promote people. Mm-hmm. They promote businesses. I mean, they are really, they love where they live and they want to promote where they live. And so one of the things I actually do is I have a give back system for realtors. Mm-hmm. So realtors can get a discount with me on my pieces because I want to give back to them for as much as they promote the community.
Yeah. Realtors to me, are connectors. A good realtor is a good connector to people, and they know all the different people in your community, and they are invested in the success of the community. They want the community to be a success. And so we have a realtor. I have a friend who's a realtor who lives down the street from us. And whenever I need, and I don't have a resource for a plumber or a cement worker. My walkway needs to be redone right now. So I'm looking for someone to redo the brick on my walkway or anything like that, a housekeeper, anything like that. I'm like, hey, Debbie, who do you know? Right. Oh, and she always knows. She always knows at least two or three people that I'm looking for that I can call that she would refer. And it saves a lot of time and I trust her recommendations. So you sold your first piece, which is awesome. And then because your pieces are so unique, and I'm going to try and paint a visual picture of what these look like. So they consist of two different components. You have your photography in your frame, and then you have your custom homemade frame, which is, you mentioned palette, kind of like palette, but it's more than a palette. It is, there's shaped and then it's custom painted. So do you always sell those pieces together? Does it come as a set? Or if someone ever called you and said, you know what, the sunrises are nice, but I really have something else that I'd like to put in this frame. Can I just buy the frame?
I actually have that happen all the time. People will ask me if I can just create a frame for them. And I don't do that for two reasons. One is there's an issue of copyright. Photographers have copyrights on their pictures. So I can't take someone's wedding picture that Miss Smith took of them and put it into my frame and have it printed. And I don't do that. And then there's also pixelation. People will take a picture with their cell phone and say, oh, can we make this, you know, so because
can we make this a 30 by 40? No,
exactly. Not,
maybe in 2 years you'll be able to when cell phone cameras get really good, but not now. So yeah, I understand that it's sold as a package. This is a custom one of a kind art piece that comes all together. Exactly. Now the images are printed on metal. Is that correct? Yeah.
Okay. Yes. I love metal. It provides such a vibrancy and such a detail to it. And especially in my case, it's hardy. These pieces can be hung on a pool lanai outside. I mean, they are really hardy. And actually, I moved away from using the pallet wood because pallet wood tends to not hold up as well after a while. So now I use fence boards.
Okay.
And fence board is made to be weathered. It's made so my pieces can actually be hung outside. And
I love that.
They're going to be just fine. Yeah, so the metal is an integral part of that, especially because of where I live. It's all salt air. Mm-hmm. And aluminum is about the only thing that doesn't rust in salt air. And that's the metal that is used when they print these pieces.
Yeah, I love that. So how are you marketing these pieces? How are you marketing this art?
So I have a large background in social media marketing. And that largely is where a lot of my followers come from. I have a huge support network on social media, people that have found my images. I've lived in a number of different states, so I have followers from all those states. And then, of course, once social media sees that somebody in this state likes your stuff, they'll suggest it to other people and so on.
Yeah, that algorithm is a funny thing, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. So social media is a huge part of it. Art shows also. I'm in the Chamber of Commerce. And then just getting involved in events. I like to go to events a lot, and I'm a very big community supporter. Mm-hmm. So if there's a festival going on, if there's an event, I'm there. I'm talking to people. I'm networking. And I host a book club out of my house. And so those ladies come, and they know people. And I mean, you know, it's you know, someone knows someone that knows someone, and it just keeps going.
Right, right. I love that so much. And that's not unlike how photographers who are doing different genres need to be thinking about their marketing efforts when it comes to so many different things. I'm always telling people, get involved in your community, but don't lead with your camera. You don't need to lead, walk into a Chamber of Commerce event holding your camera and say, hey, I'm a photographer. Can I take pictures for you? They may not need someone to take pictures, but they may need someone to collect the fee for people coming into the event, or they may need just someone to work the room in a way to make people feel comfortable. There's so many different ways that you can use your skills to help the don't include your camera. And then in conversation, it comes up about what you do. And then people are more, I think, more open to learning about what you're doing because you're not trying to shove it down their throat.
Exactly. And I like to say that especially when I'm talking to other people about marketing and they'll ask my advice and I say, no, you are your brand. Sell them you first as a person, your interests, your hobbies, who you are. And once they like you and they invest in you, then they're going to want what you have to sell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is interesting how that works. And I find that it's turning more. It's just going to keep turning more and more towards that relationship marketing versus I make pretty pictures and I want you to be my photographer. People, I say this a lot. People don't necessarily hire me for the type of art that I create, the headshots that I create, the branding photos that I create, because honestly, I've never said that I'm the world's greatest photographer. I've never held my images up and said, oh, I'm really, really great at what I do. I call myself mediocre. I'm probably a little bit better than mediocre, but I know that I get business because of the relationship that I form with people. People want to hire me. Case in point, I have a headshot session tomorrow, and the number one thing she said is like, I interviewed lots of photographers and all of them were cheaper than you. But I really like what you're bringing to the table. And I know we're going to have a great session. I'm going to love the images. And that relationship and how I handle that is what opened the door for her to hire me. And sometimes it takes a little bit longer. It can be a longer build to the actual exchanging of funds, right? But I find it a lot more fulfilling to be connecting with people on that level. which is awesome. So what I'm looking at behind you looks like they're more smaller sizes. Can you do this on a big, like big industrial scale?
So absolutely. So once I started getting into what I call artography, art plus photography, mm-hmm. and once I started getting into that, I was at a show about a year ago, and I had someone that approached me. She had just taken over a resort, and they were putting in a dining area that they wanted to go public with.
Yeah.
So she wanted me to construct the pieces for this dining area. And when I came in and I met with her, we ended up doing, I think it was 7 huge pieces. She wanted people to come in and just be like, wow, and dominate the whole space.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of fun. Some of those pieces are 6 to 7 feet long, 4 to 5 mm-hmm. feet high.
Yeah.
And it was just a lot of fun. And in fact, at the art show I was at this last weekend, I had people that came up to my table and they said, did you do that resort? And I said, I did. And they said, I knew it. I knew this was the person. And so that was really cool.
I love it.
Yeah. It's been a really great boost to my confidence in my work, of course, to have that out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I could see in your community, in the beach community, how that would just be perfect. And I love smaller wall art on the wall, but I love big statement pieces more than a bunch of smaller pieces. Like in my foyer, I have like the smallest size I think I have is a 60 by 40. Mm-hmm. Like in my dining room, I think I have a 30 by 70 of cherry blossoms in Jefferson Mall, which I didn't take. It's a Peter Lick, but that's like the scale that I like to have. In fact, you know, when I bought that picture for a birthday and that image for a birthday, and I couldn't hang it for a long time because we were having work done in the house. And when they hang it, I cried. Like that picture is just very meaningful for me, even though I didn't take it. And I'm assuming that you probably have those same emotions when you see your art on that scale hung up in commercial settings, knowing that everyone's going to walk in and just go, oh, like, that's a big deal. That's awesome.
I have goosebumps right now just with you talking about it. Honestly, yeah. I mean, I do. I just, it is very powerfully emotional.
I love it. Well, hopefully what will come from that is some referrals to some other commercial spaces that you can expand into. I would hope that you're exploring that a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Good. Good, yes. Good, good. Well, I could keep JJ here forever, but I'm not going to do that to her. So I'm going to go ahead and encourage you so much. It's very hard to talk about a type of visual medium on a podcast. And I think we've done an okay job explaining it. But what I'm going to strongly encourage you to do is head to the Focal Points Podcast show notes page, which is just focalpointspodcast.com. And in this episode, we're going to have links to all JJ's socials, all her websites. You'll be able to see this beautiful art. And once you see it, you're going to be able to make that connection of going, oh, now I get it. Like, this is different. This is unique. It's absolutely custom, one of a kind. And one of the reasons why I wanted to bring JJ on is that so many times we get caught up in what everybody else is offering. But if you can step out and create something unique, it can be such a great boost to your business and truly set you apart as an artist. Don't be afraid to offer something different to the people that you serve, which is so important, so that you don't look the same. Because if it's a cookie cutter business and everything looks the same as the 5 photographers down the street, people will shop on price. But if you can offer them something uniquely different and special to you, whether it's your experience, whether it's the finished art pieces, your process, anything like that, that's going to set you apart. And people are out there and they will pay money for that. So JJ, was there anything else you wanted to share with us today before we close up?
No, I just really appreciate the opportunity to come on and talk about this, because as you said, it is unique and it is very hard to describe using words. It's a visual product, and I hope everybody takes the time to go to my social media, go to my website and take a look at it.
Yeah, this is not what it is. I'm going to say this. This is not what this art is. But when I first opened it up, it was very beachy. It's very blue, at least the examples that I'm looking at. I want to say driftwood, but it's not driftwood. it's really a unique type of framing and presentation for art. So hopefully that has got our listeners interested enough that they're going to go and check you out. I think they will because it's so pretty. Everybody should. JJ, thank you so much for joining me today. And thank you so much to Enphoto for sponsoring this podcast. And we will see you guys next week. Thank you so much for joining me for today's podcast. Now, I have a little bit of housekeeping that I hate to throw in the mix, but I'm going to ask just the same. Number one, if you would be so kind and head over to your favorite podcasting platform and hit us with a 5-star review, that would help us get the word out about this podcast, and I would really appreciate it. Secondly, if you or someone you know would like to be a guest, head over to focalpointspodcast.com, scroll about halfway down that page, input that form, name, email, why you want to be a guest or why you think they would be a great guest, and our team will reach out to those people and try and get them booked so that you can listen to their process just like you listened to our guests today. Thank you so much for joining us.